Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
And in front of me, I have Leslie Ford, Chair of the Red Hen Project. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. And Chris O'Reilly, Senior Family Worker at the Red Hen Project.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Nice to see you too. Now, you're here to talk about the charity and the work that it does. You're a charity of the month on Cambridge 105 Radio, so we're delighted about that. So, yes, give me an overview of the work of the Red Hen Project, Leslie.
OK, well, thank you for having us as your charity of the month, first of all. We started back in 1998. Three primary schools north of Cambridge, and the head teachers between them recognised that there are quite often social barriers to learning. So they started by employing a homeschool worker, which was Chris, and she's still with us.
Yes.
Families having difficulties getting their children to school on time or without breakfast, or family issues interfering with their learning. We've expanded since then. We're a five school charity now, still in the same part of town. And Chris, do you want to talk about the kind of issues that we deal with?
Yeah, the barriers to learning, because you mentioned very practical things there, but do you just have practical things or psychological elements as well?
Well, all of it, really. I mean, there are some children who struggle with their learning because there are no routines at home, so they're not going to bed, so they're not getting up in the morning. Their life is chaotic. There are other children who, if they're coming to school, in their head is full of the fact that their mum may have mental health problems, they may have witnessed domestic violence at home, they may be worried because there's no money in the house, there's no food, they're worried about whether they'll have their home, will be there when they go home. All those adult things that children shouldn't be looking at or worrying about. And when you're a child and your head's full of that, it's really hard to go into school, enjoy your day, and learn anything, focus on what you're supposed to be learning.
So how do you help them in those situations?
Well, we go into the family home, we meet the parents first, talk about what the issues are. We help them to address the things for the adults, because they can't prioritise their children if they've got these big adults, big problems. So we'll help them. If there are domestic violence issues, we help them to access the right support. If there's poverty, we help them to sort out any benefits they're entitled to, help them to sort out debts, help them immediately to access some food and some electricity and gas if that's an issue. We then help them to put in routines, so their children will have a proper bedtime and they will have proper meal times. Things will be more relaxed and calmer at home, and we will let the children know that actually it's not their responsibility to address any of these issues. Their parents are doing it with our help, and they can actually get on with the job of being a child.
My goodness, these are big things to address, though, because presumably some families have not one issue, but several.
Most families will have several of those issues going on all at one time. And we have an issue these days where families don't live near their extended family quite often, so mum isn't round the corner.
We've kind of got a mission statement which we've borrowed either from an African proverb or something, which is that it takes a village to raise a child. And I think increasingly in these times, that village doesn't really exist, because people live in a distance from their big sister or their mother or their grandmother. So there is nobody that's close enough to say to people who are having difficulties, come on, pull your socks up, get the kids to bed. And so, unlike social care, which, you know, intervenes in family situations, as we all know, who are also under increasing financial pressures, of course, we can be there at grassroots, one-to-one intervention early on, giving the practical help. And our workers do, I'm proud to say, come across like extended family members in their practicality and their firmness in how they pick these issues up. And the other thing that we do is outreach activities. So we try and build a community by having coffee mornings, where you will often hear one parent say to another, well, this is what I do when they won't go to bed, why don't you try that? So that's what we're doing as well, building a community, a support network.
So what makes you different from social services? I know that some families may be reluctant to contact social services for various reasons. What makes your organisation different?
We're very small, very local. We work closely with schools, and parents have to have a relationship with their child's school, whether they like it or not. We also try and improve the relationships with families and schools. And I think we have a really good reputation locally, actually, and I think we're seen as non-threatening. And we are not just a gateway to more heavy-duty services, if you like. We are communication between them. If that's needed, we'll bring that in. You know, we're not there to fix everything, but we are, I think we're seen as non-threatening.
So how do people come onto your register? Are they flagged up by the school? Do they contact you directly?
Yeah, referrals from schools, Chris, right?
Yeah, generally we get referrals from school, but because we're really well known in the community, we do get self-referrals, or we will have families we're working with who will flag up a friend who's saying, she's really struggling, do you think you can help them? So we get to know families that way. And also when we have our drop-in groups, coffee mornings and things, families can come in there and they can ask for advice. And I think because you don't have to be referred, and you can seek that help yourself, you may well seek it earlier rather than wait till you get to really chronic crisis levels.
What a nice job you have. I mean, you must see literally families turning their lives around.
We absolutely do. I'm sure Chris could share many stories about that kind of thing. We recently had one of our families, the mum became a trustee, which was amazing. She's had to stop now because she's got a full-time job now, which is also remarkable. So yeah, there are, for every case we have, there's a wonderful story of something changing fundamentally for a family.
And Chris, we were saying you've been with the organisation since the beginning. Is there one story that sticks in your head?
Oh, there are so many. I think what's amazing is we run, just to be out in the community and raise some money for our emergency fund, we run a stall at the local Arbury Carnival. And families that we've been working with many, many years ago will come and seek us out every year to show us their children. They now have children, and they tell us how well they've done, and they remind us of the things that they remember. So we have lots and lots of families who do turn it around. I can't think of one off.
I put you on the spot. Don't worry. But yeah, I mean, you've been with the charity since its beginning, Chris. What about you, Leslie? What's your background?
Well, I was a full-time teacher at one of the schools when this charity started. So the head teacher that I was working with then was one of the three heads that started the charity, and I've been a trustee for a large amount of that time as well. And I've watched the charity grow in terms of its efficiency and its visibility and its reputation, not growing its size, because we're not really about that. We're about staying small and relevant and local. What I have seen, though, is a difference in the issues that we're dealing with, and there is so much more poverty now. It's not just about families in crisis with an issue that's stopping the kids, you know, being children, as Chris beautifully puts it. There's a lot of poverty issues. So referrals to food banks, our Christmas appeal to get people to donate toys for Christmas presents, using Fair Share food from Tesco's to redistribute food. So lots more poverty issues now.
And what do you do in that situation? How do you help in that situation?
We have a little emergency fund for families in real crisis. We do take, we share out the food that comes. Is it Thursdays, Chris? I think Chris does deliver us bags.
Yeah, Thursday evening, I get a message from Tesco's to say they've got some food that would otherwise go in the bin. I go and collect it. It's absolutely perfectly good food. It's just they're not allowed to sell it. And it may have damaged boxes, or it may be going out of date after today. And I collect it on a Thursday evening. We have a list of families who are really, really struggling to feed their children. So we go around on a Friday morning and we deliver food parcels for them for the weekend. We have people donate food to us. The church and the schools will give us their canned and packets food from harvest festivals. We keep that in the office. So when we get a call from a school or a family, say, my benefits have stopped, I don't know what I'm going to do, or I'm on a 0 hours contract, I've got no work this week, we can go out with a couple of shopping bags with food so they can.
It's a scary statistic that we saw in a little film that was made by a couple of students about Cambridge being the most unequal city in the UK. And about 33% of the children in North Cambridge are living in a definition of poverty.
A third?
Yeah, a third of children.
That's staggering, isn't it?
It's shocking, isn't it, really? Because you think of Cambridge as the university and the leafy villages, and then right in our midst is this area of significant social disadvantage, and it's not getting any easier.
And you're one of the reasons you're our adopter charity, not just because of the brilliant work you do, is also you are the adopter charity of the late mayor of Cambridge, Nigel Goresthorpe.
We are,
so
yeah.
Sad loss for you.
Really
absolutely.
Sad. Yeah.
He was a big part, wasn't he?
And a real champion. We were about to appear together to talk about the charity at the Guildhall. The Pentacle Club of Cambridge and magicians are doing a show in our aid. So Yeah, I won't get to see Nigel be the butt of a trick or two from them, but that's really sad. We hope that Jenny will continue, his wife will continue to be a friend of ours. So, yeah, a sad loss for us.
He was Father Christmas for us at our Christmas party.
Oh, was he?
He was amazing. The children
loved
him.
Oh, I can imagine him being a great Father Christmas.
He was.
Want to find out more about your work, it's redhenproject.org. If people want to help you, are there roles for people to help, or if people want to support the work in some way?
Always, yeah. We're very keen to build a volunteer base. Any information you need will be on the website. There is also a donate now button. We've been very fortunate to have been funded by the Big Lottery for two rounds of funding, but that will run out in 3 years' time, in which case we will be self-funding. They won't fund us again. We know that. So we're putting a lot of work in now to ensure that we can carry on. So in 20 years' time, because we're 20 years old this year, in 20 years' time, we'll come back and talk again about how we're managing on our
own. Probably still be here as well. Brilliant. Well done. Brilliant work that you do. Redhenproject.org. And lovely to have you as our charity of the month.
Thank you.